Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the one, the only, my Iceman, Rich Stambolian.
Which Iceman? Iceman from the X-Men or Iceman from Top Gun?
Iceman, like the original Iceman from X-Men. Like when he was like just ice.
Like Bobby Drake, where he was just like a snowman?
Like a snowman, yeah. Yeah, that's the best one.
I'll take it. Ooh, look at that. A nice $4.99 from Bachelor 3000. Before I board this plane, I want to wish my sweet babies a very merry effing
Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever you're celebrating around the world. Tomorrow's Christmas
Happy
Eve.
Everything.
We're recording this on Friday. I'm done for the year, dude. I'm finished. I have nothing left to give this world for the next week.
Don't we have like several shows planned for next week?
We do. We have a ton of shows. We have a best of, we have a worst of, and we have our prediction show coming up the next couple of weeks that are all bonuses on top of what we're doing because there's so much news to talk about. But this is our final, I guess, would this be the last two regular Matt Men's of the year are now. And then we got our bonus shows, which are going to be, it's always fun. The prediction shows are always fun because we go back to last year. And apparently I predicted everything. I think there's a clip of me saying CM Punk's going to lose his mind eating a muffin in a scrum and get into a fight and quit, right? I predicted that.
I think so. I think we have that prediction show that we did last year. It's archived, and we're going to play it for you guys next week. You're gonna think we're two wrestling Nostradamuses.
You're gonna lose your mind. MG, there was a lot of stuff in there, right?
Yeah, there was a couple. I got close to one. You pretty much almost predicted who the women's champ for AEW would be. You said Toni Storm, so you were a month off.
I was a month off,
there was a couple, other in there that were pretty close.
I had to get up.
Where's this guy going? No pants. No pants on this guy. No, keep switching, MG. Don't get the camera.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Good job with the switching, MG.
Yeah, he's doing a great job here. So where do you want to go, Rich? Let's start off with, there's a lot of news, so let's start off.
All right, let's jump right into it, guys. Tony Khan confirms that AEW Dynamite and Rampage will have a different look in 2023. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they hired, MJ, you can start switching, dude. It's cool. They hired a former WWE guy that was really set to be the future of their production team after Kevin Dunn. He was the one that people had. I don't know if his name is in the notes here. I don't want to give the wrong name. Maybe MG could pull it up. But
yeah,
this is an interesting change because he had left WWE on his own accord, went to go work for Pat McAfee. Left Pat McAfee, went to do another, went back into, sports production, and then now he's going to AEW. Great get for AEW. I think they need to tighten some stuff up. I think the TV's tight already, but, you could do some minor improvements and really up the quality of the production. But we're going to see it in the next couple of weeks, whatever this is.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. People get really crazy about this. I still like the aesthetic of both shows, but if you add a little more glitz and glam, why not? Make it a little better. What I don't want is I don't want to see them go to that WWE style where everything is so damn bright that it hurts your eyes.
Yeah, the brightness. You know what I do like that they did, and Tony reversed course here. I liked when they had the ambient lighting on the crowd.
Yes.
Right. And apparently a lot of people did not like this and they complained and Tony took it away. Tony now just has it how it used to be when they first started Dynamite, where the crowd is not lit like that. I thought it added an extra level to the production when they had like the purple lights or whatever lights on the crowd.
What is your favorite lighting for any wrestling event? Like if you could think of it. I know it's a very odd and
Ring of Honor
question.
In 2004, they wrestled in the freaking dark.
Oh, perfect. that's what Tony's going to do. Turn the lights off. Turn off the lights.
Oh yeah, French Tony Khan's back. Hey, Tony. How was Paris?
It was magnifique. We are going to turn the lights off. There is going to be nothing to see. Only silhouettes in the ring.
Oh, very sexy. That's a very sexy wrestling show. Very only noir. Silhouettes, the silhouettes of wrestling. I like that show. You know what? I think WWE's always had a good. I like AEW's presentation. To be honest, I think they have a great presentation. I think that it's sports enough. Mm-hmm. Where WWE, you're right. WWE is way too bright. It is so freaking bright, that show.
It hurts, man. When I put SmackDown on the other day, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was like, "Yo, is it just me, or is this like?" Is my TV on fire right now? It just looked like everything was burning out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm sure people are going to complain. People are going to hate it, no matter what it is, no matter how much of an improvement this is. People are going to complain that an ex-WWE guy is in charge of production, and that's how it goes. What are you going to do? But I'm curious to see what they do. This is interesting stuff. A lot of changes happening in 2023 for this company. And by the way, Warner Media very much is behind the change. It's been, you know, almost 3 years now. It's time, you know, a new look, a revamped intro. These are all things that we're going to see happen.
Yeah. I think especially now with the way technology is, like, it would be a disservice not to try something different, you know?
You know what is impressive, though? The fact that they came out, like, they shot out that gate with high production value.
Absolutely.
You know, they really have not... They've had some moments where they have some audio issues or video issues, but it's nothing like what a lot of people expected for a new upstart, you know, an up-and-coming company. They were really tight from the beginning. Obviously, some production errors happened, but overall, you live production is not easy, and for a new company like that to put it together so quickly, I think they did a fantastic job the last couple of years.
Yeah, dude, they really, they kind of came out of the gate, like, really hot with this stuff, you know? And it could also be, you know, like, Tony Khan's a smart dude. He could have just sent schematics to a bunch of people and been like, this is what I want it to look like. This is the feel I want. Make it happen. And, you know, like, he didn't have to, like rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
You know, the guy has, like, a nice bankroll already to begin with. So you're getting, like, you already have cool stuff, and I think it's going to get cooler.
Yeah, very cool.
Next up, apparently Miro was presented with and rejected creative plans that would have led to a match at Full Gear. This is per Dave Meltzer. And it's kind of interesting where Dave implied that the ex-WWE guys are leery of doing jobs, with the exception being Bryan Danielson, which we've talked about a lot, right? And if that's true, I think... It's interesting because it makes you think that these guys want to stay quote unquote strong if they get rehired by WWE.
Well, the same. This is like a half story here. Dave is right, but also the same exists for the AEW guys that don't want to lose to WWE guys. It goes both ways here. I don't think it's a Miro, specifically a Miro or like a Alistair or Andrade thing. I think this is an overall thing where everybody wants to be presented strong. I think a guy, Miro, I got to tell you, did not work right now in AEW. I think they mishandled him. I think he's one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andrade is one. But you don't know what happens backstage. It's more than just coming on camera and looking great and having great matches. There's a lot of, not that politics play a part, but your character plays a part. Your conversations play a part. Nepotism plays a big part in things also. You know, how involved are you with Tony? How involved are you with the booking? Are you, how aggressive are you with what you want? So I'm not saying that this is the case for Miro or Andrade or anything, but there is way more than just what we see on TV that plays a part into somebody's push. Miro, in my opinion, could have been a monster character on that TV, an established name that people recognize. He's got a feud with Cena. He was put in a big position in that company for numerous times. I think they could have had a revamp of his character. I think he came off weird. I think he came in there. The Redeemer stuff, I very much enjoyed, even though it's bonkers. Mm-hmm. I think same for you, right?
Yeah.
Because it's insane.
It's insane. But here's the thing. I think specifically with Miro, and this is not a knock on the guy. I do think, you know, because it's showbiz, a lot of these guys need to be handed a script, you know? And I think he might be one of those guys, just judging from what we've seen on TV, where, like, for me, you know what really did it for me in his career? When he was straight up, like, the Bulgarian brute, coming out with Lana, and very no nonsense, right? And he would cut these promos, and people would cut promos on him, kind of making him look like the doofus, and that worked, you know?
That did work,
Whereas this, it's very much like, you know, there's, I think there's an argument to at least have like one or two guys in the back who can write specifically for somebody, you know, like The Rock had it. The Rock had guys like that, you know,
Brian
going
Gewirtz,
back, like way
dude.
Back when. Yeah.
Brian Gewirtz, like, one of the best for The Rock. I mean, I don't, you know, his book is fantastic, by the way. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for somebody, a book, Brian Gewirtz's book, fellow Queens boy, man, how can we not support him? Mets fan, Queens boy. We love him here.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, like there's
a mensch.
Argument. He is a mensch. There's arguments to be had where maybe somebody who is a writer could say, hey, listen, like, I know what your voice is.
Yeah.
Why don't you try this on for size? And then you're off to the races because, you know, it's a creative business, but it's still showbiz. You know, you need that extra like oomph.
Yeah.
To really grab people's attention. You
and
know?
Listen, you write, right? You're a writer.
Yeah.
You write very different genres. You have a vast multitude of ability. You could do poetry. You could do short stories. You could do sci-fi. Sure. You could do, you know, you're very talented with that stuff. So you come from a different insight here. I'm not a writer, but I you're absolutely right here. If you have someone that could understand your voice, it makes your life a lot easier. Maybe that's something that they need, especially for these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Miro.
Like Andrade is a good example too.
Andrade is a great example because look at that guy. How is he not in a major program, right? Now, I don't know if there's personal issues here. I don't know. Again, maybe I do know, but I'm not going into personal stuff here. But I could tell you, when you look at him, he shines. When you look at Miro, he shines. Alistair, too, he shines. Like, Tony's picks for these guys to come over, I think he picked the right guys. It just could have been the right guy at the wrong time.
In
many of these
that.
Cases.
And I also think the status quo of wrestling on TV has shifted so much because of AEW, where you can have a problem with the programming or the booking or whatever, but how many heavy hitters on that roster in terms of promos are there? You know, like if you tune in on a Wednesday or Friday, dude, like everybody who's being pushed right now is
a great promo.
Look at Ricky Starks. You know,
Ricky Starks, MJF, Danielson, Moxley.
Mox.
I mean, just I could tell you those top four. You know, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Danielson's not even not considered for his promos, but he's so well rounded from the WWE experience. He shines here with his promos.
You know, you have your Jerichos. You have you know, like all the supplemental guys, all the title holders. You know, like a Britt Baker, like everybody, like really, really shine. So I feel like that's also must be a little tough for somebody who's not really known for their promo ability to kind of look at everybody on TV and be like, yo, this is, you know, like, what do I do? You know, it's got to be a little intimidating to a certain extent.
It has to be. And you know, we're going to do our retrospect of the year. Retrospective episode where we talk about this year. And you know, this was not a good year for AEW financially. Very good year for AEW PR wise, optics wise, not a great year for AEW. I had dinner with somebody last week, and this was the conversation at dinner, and it was there was a lot of conversation at dinner, which I'm not going to go into, but one of the things were, listen, optics matter. Your PR matters. When you have a guy like Cody Rhodes on a successful show on the network, there's synergy there. The network is more inclined to want to do more with you because it's working. You lost that guy. You lost your top guy. I mean, to wrestling fans, listen, I it's very polarizing whether or not that you were on the CM Punk side or you're not on the CM Punk side, where you fall in line with how this should have happened and what happens in the long run. But if I'm Warner Discovery, right, who's your top guy that I know? I'm not a wrestling fan, right? I'm an executive. I just know. I'm a casual guy. I just know wrestling. Who's your guy? Is it John Cena? You don't have John Cena. Okay, so you have Chris Jericho. Great. He was the first piece. Who else is your guy that I'm gonna know? Sting. Okay, fine.
Sting's great. CM Punk, I think, to a certain regard,
but that was the one, because that was the one that was untouchable. Nobody could get him, and you got him, and it fell apart. I don't know whose fault, no fault. You know, you could dispute that, But if I'm Warner, I want to see that. I want one of those guys. If I'm locking you in, if I'm going to give you, I'm throwing a number here, $100 million mm-hmm. a year, right? To sign you to a 3-year deal on Turner, $100 million. We'll put Ring of Honor on. We'll put Rampage on. We'll do all this stuff. Where's my guarantee that you have top talent in this company that people are going to channel surf or you know, after a Big Bang Theory or after an NBA game, I stay tuned and I see what's happening. Who's that guy that's going to be like, oh, crap, I know him. Yeah, Moxley right. to an extent, but Moxley's a current, you know, current generation. Not, and Moxley was not a CM Punk.
Not a legend, quote unquote.
I mean, no knocking Moxley whatsoever. I'm saying from an outside wrestling perspective, I don't think people know who Jon Moxley is outside of pro wrestling.
I'll agree with that. And also, I mean, listen, you know as well as I do that sometimes these guys on top, I'm not saying they're clueless, but there probably was a conversation where some executive was like, oh, who do they got? Do they have John Cena? My kids love John Cena. Dude. And then they have to explain to him, like, no, this is a different company.
I'm going to tell you something. You would be shocked. You would be shocked if you heard what I hear coming from top. I'm using hand quotes for people listening. Mm-hmm. Top executives at these networks.
I'm sure.
The suggestions that come through, the ideas that come through, the crossover suggestions that people mm-hmm. want. You know, part of the game is you got to throw ideas. And a lot of positions are, if you're not coming up with ideas, you're doing something wrong. And sometimes you just don't have a great idea. I see a lot of these. And on the AEW side, on the Warner side, I have to tell you, it's been much quieter because of the merger. Mm-hmm. Key people are gone. I mean, real key people in that company are gone.
Right.
So, very interesting stuff. I know that we veered off here from the original discussion, but this is all stuff that's going to play in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, you know, AEW has not had, I guess, in terms of, like, the talent and the injuries and the suspensions and all that stuff, they haven't had the best year, but they persevered, you know? Yeah. And obviously, I think next year is going to be bigger. Do you still think Cody leaving was kind of like, this is almost like... like, we don't need this, you know?
Cody leaving was a big, you know, again, it's a pile-on, right? Mm-hmm. I would say Cody leaving was a big negative for that company as far as the optics go. Why would a guy that was one of the founders, again, I'm using ego, one of the founders, one of the original mm-hmm. guys that was so forward-facing as the face of this company, right. Why would he want to leave? Why would you leave? You're in the top position. It's, you know, you're essentially one of the top guys. You're in the top positioning. You did that mm-hmm. weird angle where you took yourself out of the world title positioning, which was a huge mistake.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I don't know who came up with that or why. Why so soon? Did. I should say. But why so soon? You know, like he didn't have a lot of title chances to come up with this. Like, the guy that can't do it, and then now you put that as a stipulation where if I don't win this big one, I'm never challenging again. You didn't really do that. You just did it immediately, and that was it. Maybe that's a misstep. Maybe there was something more here. But the fact that this guy that put on that unbelievable ladder match in January, right, was gone.
Yeah.
See you later. To WWE, that is really one of their big wins of the year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And we're going to see the fallout of that. We haven't seen the effect of Cody in that company. We're going to see this fallout next month. It starts. Yeah.
Once they put that marketing machine behind him, forget it. You know, he's going to be on the buses and the trucks and all that stuff.
Yeah, and Cody was a guy that people went to. There were two camps. One that did not like Cody's mm-hmm. approach to things because Cody is he's a professional. He understands the big picture. There was that camp that didn't really understand the entertainment aspect of it. But to many, if not most, Cody was another ear, and Cody was a really good mind there. So you know, listen, Tony is, these are growing pains to any company. Any new startup will go through this. And well, I think Tony's going to do well with it. I think he's going to get himself out of the funk that this year was. I think this year he'll be able to, or I hope so, because I know a lot of people that are friends with Tony, and they speak very highly of him. He's not an incompetent guy. I know some of you guys really wish that was the case for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of guys want that to be true, but that is not true at all. He's a very hyper successful, very good thinker.
He's focused. He's a focused,
forward thinking guy. So he's going to be able to adjust and pivot here.
I think you're up next with this news bit, Andrew.
Oh, am I? Here we go.
Yeah.
Wednesday night's holiday bash edition of AEW Dynamite averaged 957,000 viewers, up 0.7% from last year. This was the highest audience total for the show since October 26th. So, I mean, you could tell the decline started after the Punk thing here with the numbers.
Yeah.
And they're hovering around 970. Let's say it's a million. Let's just go with a million.
Sure.
Right? Okay. We'll see what happens in the new year. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think the numbers will go back up. You know, is that the ideal? Is a million the ideal number for each week and to build on that?
They have to build on that. I you know? What do you think?
Again, like, I think it also begs the question, like, do these numbers really matter to anyone else but the guys on top, you know?
The numbers matter especially this year.
Okay.
If we were ever going to talk about numbers as far as this company goes and the future of this company, those numbers are really going to matter this year. Like, there's no question about it. Like, this is a contract year. That number has to be at a million and over. You can't have a 750,000 viewer week. Unless it's an anomaly, you know, like a trend. Mm-hmm. You can't have a trend going down. The trend has to continue going up, and there needs to be growth to get more money.
Do you consider a million viewers per week excellent, especially in the climate that we're in, where everything is streamable and nobody really does appointment television?
Appointment television exists only for live sports and news. That's it. That's the only two that people will watch. And to these networks, it's very important to have a property that's live, that's DVR proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a million people watching. Sports, if you follow the cable industry, these are fantastic numbers.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people go in there with the presumption of like the old days of wrestling where you would get 6 million viewers on a Raw or 5 million viewers. You know, when they canceled WCW Nitro, that thing was getting 3 million viewers.
Yeah.
At least in the threes. That would be, I mean, if you got those numbers now, it's considered unbelievable. You would have your own channel. It's just viewership has changed. You're right. Appointment television is gone. And you also could get your fix five different ways. I could go on YouTube and listen to two idiots talk about pro wrestling on Mat Men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not me and you. I'm talking about Jonathan, the other two idiots of Mat Men, Jonathan and MG. And I'll get my fix. And that's it. I know everything that happened. You know, there are times that I don't, like, I miss NXT sometimes. I go on YouTube, I see the clips, and I listen to Dave and Brian talk about NXT. And guess what? Mm-hmm. I got enough, and then I'll go back if something big happened. There are some weeks that I have to watch like that. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think time is the thing that we're oddly running out of, you know? Like, I would love to watch all the wrestling, but listen, I love it. Do I care that much? Jury's out. I got MG. I got MG to text me results.
What else do we have?
Let's see what's next up here. So AEW just released a spotlight trailer for Fight Forever, which focuses on MJF. Still no confirmation on a release date. Go ahead.
What do you think of the graphics?
You know what? I'm okay with them.
Are you?
I am okay with them. I don't need, like, I think the problem with those WWE games is that they are so polished and realistic.
But they're looking like wacky polygons, you know?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with wacky polygons.
Sharp edges on. Some of them look really good. I don't know. I'm hoping that it's still being developed, obviously, and I'm hoping that this is a work in progress, because they're not going to release one every year. They're just going to do updates. So, graphically, listen, from what I've heard, the gameplay is very good. And if the gameplay is up to the level of people's expectation, it's not really going to matter. We're going to be able to forgive that they're not. And by the way, I'm not talking about hyper-realism with the character. I like the cartoonish look.
Right,
I'm into
right.
it. I'm into that. It's very, you know, no mercy. It just, I don't know. I thought it could have looked better in this generation of consoles. I think it could have looked better.
I'll agree with you, but I'll agree with what you said first. If the gameplay rocks, then you can look past that.
Yeah, the engine is what matters.
Yeah, and the customization and all that stuff. Because, like, you could I feel like you're probably going to get a lot of surprises in there where, like, there's definitely going to be some kind of, like, awesome Muda thing, or like your New Japan guys, or even your WWE guys. You know, you're going to be able to customize it like perfectly. I'm hoping
that does it have a creative player?
It has to. If it doesn't, then, you know, why bother?
It has to, right? I can't wait to make us in the game.
Oh my god. this is when our video game streaming thing comes back.
5'9½, 248 mm-hmm. pounds. That's what I'm gonna be.
Just and max out the height.
That's it. And max out the height and just a G mm-hmm. string. That's it. That's what I'm wrestling in. All right. We'll see what happens here. Very cool though. I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
So very cool stuff. No confirmation, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was supposed to. Wasn't it supposed to be released like next week or this week or something?
No.
Like, before
it was the year? It was a placeholder for pre-orders. You needed to have a placeholder date, so they just put the last date of the year.
So this is kind of interesting. Dax Harwood of FTR is he's jumping into the wrestling podcast thing, and he's sharing insight into the Sasha Banks situation on his new podcast, who is, by the way, in Japan.
Yes,
this week. So, and next week is Wrestle Kingdom. I think we all know what's going to happen. So Dak says, I think that just like me, I feel that sometimes she gets a bad rap because of how passionate she is and how much she wants it. She knows what she deserves and she knows what she's earned, and she works her ass off to get it. And if she doesn't get it, she feels slighted. And, you know, she has a reason to feel that way. That's coming from Dax, and they're very close.
Yeah. You know what's interesting to me about this? So it has become like a negative, right? It's like negative PR against Sasha now because she wants more money and she wants to get paid really well.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are upset over that. Don't you want to get paid as much money as you possibly could earn if you're going to fall on your head all day?
Exactly.
Your career is to fall and to get hit and to do flips, and it's not and travel. I want to get paid as much as I could possibly get, and you know,
you want that sweetheart deal, of course, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand why people. Yeah, I don't understand why people are looking at it as a negative that she's like, "F you, pay me."
Right.
That's the mentality you gotta have in that business. If you don't have that "F you, pay me" mentality, then what are you doing?
Exactly. And if she didn't have that mentality, and if she, you know, she probably has a nice chunk of savings put away. You know, WWE probably took care of her very well. So now she can not work for a while and command that big price that she feels she deserves, you know, and she does, you know. Like, I wonder where the New Japan thing is going, you know, because I want to see how that plays out next week or 2 weeks.
I mean, listen, it is a historic thing if she does go over there and she does win that title. You know, they're just building that relationship. So, yeah. I think it is historically big for wrestling. You know, it's a moment, obviously, people are going to talk about, and I think she wants to be part of that, and I think that's great for her. She's a fan of wrestling.
Right. I think she's going back to WWE.
You think so?
I think so. I think, and FTR also. I think it's going to happen. I think that Japan show is going to be like the litmus test for a lot of stuff. You know?
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Very interesting.
Yeah, the December 26th episode of Monday Night Raw will be a best of episode. And I don't think they're doing a live show.
There is no live show. No, it's a best of. However, they're at the Garden on the 26th.
Okay.
So it's the MSG Garden show, the MSG, you know, holiday show that they put on. They're going to be at the Garden. And I think I expect everybody to be there. I don't know if the... It's going to be a big show. It always is.
It's interesting that they're not just broadcasting it from the Garden.
Because of the rights fees, man. It's crazy expensive. It's out of control. It really, it's disgusting how much they charge.
Mm-hmm.
Unions.
Oh yeah, forget
the
it.
The unions. You got to use their camera guys. You got to pay their fee. It's out of control.
Out of control. Live shows resume on Friday, December 30th. SmackDown and Raw will be live. Raw will be live on Monday, January 2nd, and the December 30th episode of SmackDown will feature John Cena teaming with Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fun.
Very.
That's
cool.
Gonna be a lot of fun.
That was told to me at dinner, and I was set. I was told I can't talk about it.
But now you can.
Now I can.
Yeah. Now you can, because they announced it last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was kind of a cool little thing that they did.
I think last week, didn't I mention something on the show? I was like, you guys should watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
Something,
yeah,
they're going to announce something or something big's going to happen. And then do you know how many people were like, what was the big thing that they announced? John Cena wrestling? That's not a big deal. Yeah. I'm like, on SmackDown? John Cena wrestling on SmackDown on the last episode? I think that's a big deal.
On the last episode of the year. Yeah. That's a huge deal. Like, you're going to protect him. It's going to be like a tag, nice tag match, you know? Who knows? I feel like this is going to lead into like other stuff.
Yeah. He's on for Mania, so
yeah,
we'll see what they do.
Oh, imagine if John Cena wins the Rumble and he's the one that tries to take out Roman Reigns.
Oh my God, people would be mad. You don't think so?
I think people would be mad. I think that's a solid main event though.
John Cena for the last time ever.
Last time, first time, John Cena, Roman Reigns. Whose island is it?
You know, but he is going to break the record, right? Do you think he's breaking Flair's record or no? Or he'll just keep it at a tie.
I think because Triple H loves Flair so much that he wouldn't make that booking decision. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
You're getting some cool stuff. So Raw had a lot of the Bloodline. Bloodline opened the show. Good stuff. That's my favorite WWE story at this point.
The Bloodline stuff? Best story of the year for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think they. You know what's interesting? When is the last time they committed to a storyline this long?
Maybe Brock and Roman.
Like for, I mean, this is really consistently long, right?
This
like
is on very ongoing.
Very ongoing. Like, I don't think they've ever done. They've done it, but I don't think like the Shield, maybe, right?
Listen, if you think about it, it's all been one big Roman story for almost 10 years.
It really has been. It really since 2013. It's really been about Roman Reigns. They decided that guy was the man, and it took them a little bit. It took them a little bit to get it going, but now, holy moly. It's working.
Isn't that fascinating? Like, and plus they had like the Shield had arguably the strongest debut in the last 15 years.
The Shield was a stable or was it a team? It was a team.
It was a team.
Okay. When is the last time they had a stable in a main event story for this long? They had Nexus. That was a stable story, right?
That fell apart, man.
And that fell apart really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, DX, how long did DX last?
That's interesting.
97, 98, they broke up in 99, so like a year and a half maybe, you know?
But by your rationale, would you consider DX originally a team and then they became a stable?
I think they were a stable with China, like near the end of the Shawn Michaels DX. I think they were a stable then. Because they had China and they had Rude. They were a stable. Fascinating.
Okay. You know, do you consider Judgment Day a stable?
Yes, they are a stable. Yes, they are a stable, Judgment Day.
And what about the OC? Because now you have Mia Yim.
They're a stable now, too. Isn't, you know what? Stables are coming back, huh?
Stables and stables,
factions.
Man.
Factions.
I'm a big fan of, you know what, speaking of factions, I'm a little sad that Suzuki-gun is bringing up.
Is ending.
They're all cutting like really heartfelt promos.
I know. I saw it. Where do you want to go? You want to talk about Raw? Do you want to go into Dynamite? We got about, I don't know, 45 minutes here.
We can skip the Raw stuff. Okay. You know, like, well, let's skip over everything except So the Miz beating Dexter Lumis in his in the ladder match to regain his to retain his money or regain his money.
Yeah, yeah. He was able to get his money back.
Listen, I think we're in the same boat here, you and I, where I love the Miz. At this point, whatever this guy does is gold. I think he is such a weird, like, cornerstone of the modern WWE universe that you can't overlook the guy anymore.
But you know what's crazy? And I hate that they do this. I don't understand why WWE likes to tell us that their wrestlers have no freaking money.
We talked about this last week. Yeah, they do this every so often where it's like, it's for the kids, though. That's definitely for the kids, you know, because
Shawn Michaels, he doesn't know how to do his books. He's broke.
It's hire these guys, an accountant. Yeah, like for the, it's for like the 6 to 8 year old who's like, oh man, like this guy's poor now.
This guy's poor now, yeah. Fucking wild.
The best thing coming out of this is the return of Bronson Reed, aka Jonah.
Yeah.
Who you reported back in August.
I did. I think we actually mentioned it earlier than I think you and I discussed it. I think I was told early August. I think I said something late August about this. But as soon as, you know, things started changing in that company, he was one of the name. He was one of the first names that I heard that they wanted. And, you know, he's a guy that beat Okada.
Yes.
Saw something in him for sure in New Japan. I think and a lot of people. There's a ton of people that see a lot in Bronson Reed. I think he's fantastic. I hope that he has a great run there. Just this is a, you know, Hunter's putting his pieces back together. These are his guys.
I do love that he's so big.
Big.
They put the two authors of pain together and made Bronson
Reed. You know what? That is true. Mm-hmm. That is 100% true. That's a fact.
He looks like a star too. Plus, I liked his tights on Monday, where like it was like alien inspired. You see, like the xenomorph. Do you think there's too many Brons in WWE now?
Bronson Reed, Braun Breaker, Braun Strowman.
What's
up with
that?
All the Brons?
Yeah,
they like that name.
Seriously, what's up with that?
But they're all spelled differently.
But it's kind of interesting where like you're a company that historically has gotten rid of first names, last names, and nobody could be the same name, right?
But you have three of the same.
You got three Bronze just rolling around.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of which, on NXT, Grayson Waller knocked out Bron Breakker. This was pretty much a recreation of the Bill Goldberg and Bret Hart from WCW Nitro in 99.
Yeah, the steel plate in the chest. I love that spot, by the way.
Yes.
Love that spot.
And the New Day retained their NXT tag titles by beating Pretty Deadly. I like the New Day as the NXT champs.
Very cool. And we're going to see more of this, by the way. This is getting NXT ready for that next thing that they're going to be doing this year, where you're going to have more crossover from the main roster. Yeah. I expect some indie names to show up in that company. The importance of having a guy that's like an indie darling, right? I don't think people realize how important that was for the development of NXT.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what you were waiting for at those takeovers? Who's showing up at the end?
Exactly.
You know, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen showing up that was a humongous moment. And you know what the argument was there? Nobody knows who he is. But guess what? It's the pieces. Piece here, piece there, piece here, piece there. And then all of a sudden, wow, look at this roster. Look at what they're doing.
Well, I think that was very much for the fans. You know, like they were like at that point, like, yo, let's do some cool shit. The people on top who are doing Raw and SmackDown have no idea what we're doing here. And let's give them something great. And it was great. You know, like that stretch, I think until like Finn Balor got called up, was prime NXT, right?
Prime NXT, yeah, till like 2019, 2018. I would say 2016 was Prime NXT, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we look at this poster we got here, right? This poster.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Shinsuke Nakamura, the NXT champion, faces Samoa Joe and The Revival, Asuka and Ember Moon. You got Cedric there. You got Bobby Roode there. You got Eric Young. You got Ty Dillinger. What happened to TM61? They didn't really do much after that. I mean,
I think one of them got like really hurt, and then
is that what it was?
Yeah,
very. you know, like, great roster. It was a lot of fun. People really loved it. I loved it too. And then now they're developmental, which I really don't have. I can't invest a lot of time in it.
Yeah, same here. Hopefully they fix it. You know, but also, you know, I think the beauty of a show like NXT was, you know, you would get, like you said, you would get these indie darlings, right? Who are the indie darlings now that people should pay attention to? You know, where is your Kevin Steen or your Generico or your Adam Cole?
Well, there's less of them. You know? There's less, obviously, right? Because there's many places you could go. But, mm-hmm. you know, you're gonna find those guys. There's a lot that exist. Speedball Mike Bailey, he's one.
Great.
Mike Bailey is, I mean, that guy, if he doesn't become a star somewhere, there's something going on. You know, there's something wrong there. But there's a number of those guys. Colby Carino, another guy. I expect Colby to be in WWE soon.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah. he has a foot in there. He's a really good talent. He's worked super hard. I think Kobe's one that you're going to see from the indies. I think Mike Bailey's one that you'll see from the indies. There's a bunch of those guys, you know.
And there was also like cool moments too where before AEW really took off, where like Cody would show up at indie shows and present people with contracts.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
You know, that was really cool. And I think, you know, now that you have Dark and Elevation, that's where these indie darlings are going. Like, look at it like an Action Andretti.
Yeah. Yeah, Action Andretti. Yeah. That's another great one. Yeah. I hope it works for him. What a life-changing moment for him, huh?
Oh, forget it.
All it takes as long is one guy to see
he stays healthy. Yep.
Yeah. We didn't discuss Mandy Rose. Mandy's release from WWE from NXT. What do you make of this whole thing? Where do you think she ends up?
I don't know. We talked about this last week.
Did we?
Yeah, we dedicated quite some time.
Totally why it's not on your rundown.
Okay, there you go. That is why it's not on my rundown. I have no idea what day it is anymore. Thank you so much.
Whatever, man. Like, I don't think she's going to wrestle anytime soon. I think the heat's going to die down and WWE is going to bring her back, you know, like with an apology probably.
I don't know. Chelsea Green deleted her OnlyFans because she's getting ready to go to WWE. I was surprised at the discussion around it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised at the discussion, but it is what
Listen,
it is.
Like,
she made
is
a ton of
like,
money.
Right, like you were saying before, like, would you rather make $1 million doing this or not so much money throwing your head at the ground 5 nights a week?
I would much rather show my butthole on the internet for $1 million or $500,000 a month or whatever she's making rather than get hit in the head over and over again. If that was, those were my two choices.
It's buttholes.
I think it's buttholes. Ahoy. Yeah. I think it's all buttholes. Right. Yeah.
Do you want to jump into Dynamite?
Yeah, let's go into it.
Great Ricky Starks promo. The dude's killing it. You know, like, I feel like they really struck gold with him now, especially. And he did have that, like, he was a Cody guy, right? And he had that, like, neck injury, I think, last year that almost, like, took him out.
Yeah. When was that?
I want to say, like, 2021, like, early 2021.
Who was it with? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, like, he got... I don't want to say he got knocked silly, but I do remember like there was something and he was away for a while and it was very like touch and go. But you know, he's another guy. If he stays healthy, the caliber of matches and promos this guy could put on is tremendous. And I do think, you know what, honestly, at this point, future AEW champion.
Yeah, I hope so. I think he's on a really good trajectory now.
Yeah. And he challenged Jericho to a match on January 4th.
All right, cool. Nice. Yeah. That's going to be a good show, that January 4th show.
And Jericho was perplexed. Fine. Danny Garcia looked like he just watched Pitch Black for the first time. He came out in that black tank top with the goggles. what do you make of this Best of 7 series?
I don't know. I understand why they're doing it. By the way, Tony using the NBA on NBC theme now for everything. So I thought it was like it was just for this, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it was just for this program because it is like a playoff, right? Mm-hmm. And Tony, you know, obviously he's a Chicago Bulls fan and he grew up in that era. I tweeted right. something like, okay, when is Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks facing Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls for game mm-hmm. five? That theme has always tickled me. I freaking love it. And I was like, okay, they're going to use it once for this series. No, they were using mm-hmm. it for the coming attractions for everything. So I guess right. he has the rights for it and he's going to continue using it. I love it.
Why not?
Love it.
Round Ball Rock is the name of it.
What is it called?
Round Ball Rock.
Round Ball
by
Rock.
John Tesh.
And I believe he also did the theme for Bobby's World.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think he was like a known guy that did these TV themes. So very cool stuff. With the series, I mean, it's okay. You know, I'm fine with it.
I'm liking it. I think it keeps the guys healthy. You know, I think doing this keeps the elite healthy, and then they'll springboard into something tremendous next year.
Yeah, but it also gives them, you know, a story to do right now if they're not ready for something. You know, we'll see what happens. Do you think they win this series, or do you think they lose it and they maybe go their own ways?
I think they. You know, that's a good question.
What if Adam mm-hmm. Cole costs them the series and he turns on Kenny? And the elite and the Bucks side with Adam Cole, and now you pick up where you left off between Adam Cole and Kenny Omega before Kenny left for the injury.
I'd like to see that. Now, here's another thing I kind of want to posit to you. So, you know, every so often we'll talk about like different styles of champions, right?
Yeah.
If you took Kenny out of this trio's picture and then put him into a feud with MJF for the title, what would you make of that?
I mean, he would does he lose? You know, like you got to be careful how you do this, because right now MJF having the title, mm-hmm. it's a testing point for him.
Yeah.
You can't have this be like a quick 3-month run and then he drops the title. I mean, even now with Danielson, right? Danielson doesn't care to lose, but right. I'd love to see him as the world champion in that company. I think he should be world champion to some level. Danielson's another name that's recognizable, by the way. That's the other name I was thinking of, right?
Yeah.
If you're Warner, right? If you're Warner Discovery, you know, putting that title on a really hot Danielson goes a long way, especially in a TV negotiation period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they should take the title off of MJF, but okay, so fine. He's going to feud with Danielson. Obviously, the Wardlow thing is going to come up at some point. Kenny, who's next?
Yeah.
Who else is ready for that? That's a believable win. You know, that could be a believable, he could lose to this guy.
Well, I think also that the booking and perception of Kenny kind of paints him into a corner, you know, where this is a guy who's called the best bout machine, right?
Yeah.
So that's like an impossible task. That would be bad booking if you had Kenny versus MJF, because a MJF win would kind of be unbelievable. Right?
Against Kenny, yeah.
Against Kenny. Danielson, on the other hand, though, you know, you can do a classic series of wrestling matches with Danielson, you know, which it's interesting how that perspective is there, you know?
Yeah. Very interesting.
What else do we have here?
So the Elite won the match.
Yeah.
Very cool ending with the one-legged, was it Indy Taker? Or was it? Yeah, it was the Indy Taker, right?
Meltzer Driver.
One-legged Meltzer Driver got the pin. Very cool stuff.
It says Meltzer Driver on the notes, though.
Meltzer Driver. Driver.
It does sound pretty cool, though. Renee also had an interview with Bryan Danielson. He tried to explain why he stayed loyal to William Regal and vowed to make MJF pay. And this kind of lost me a little bit.
Okay,
where I think Ethan Page called him a vegetable man.
He called him a vegetable man. And then I thought that was hysterical. And then Stokely called him a raggedy bitch.
Pretty funny. You know, great laughs. Good promo. I
love Ethan Page, by the way. He's fantastic.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
Big fan.
He's another guy with just like a little more push. He could be in that title picture.
He has time. He has some time. Yeah. He's doing
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Hook submitted Exodus Prime. Great. You had Moxley beating Darius Martin.
I want to go back on that. The best part of that match was Taz on commentary, being a proud father,
mm-hmm.
with Hook, and he's like, yeah, he's been training this, and he's like, look, he got him in the Kata Hajime, and he called it the Red Rum, whatever, you know. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I like when you could see that he gets a little bit more excited when his son's on TV, which is fantastic.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Of course. Good boy from Massapequa.
Up next, you had Mox beating Darius Martin. Bulldog choke into Death Rider. Mox wins. You know, like he's helping, right?
Who?
Mox.
Yeah. Yeah. Darius got some offense, so that was nice.
You had the Gun Club beating FTR with an assist from Austin got the pin with an assist from his brother. This is the third straight loss for FTR. I'm telling you, man, they're losing those titles at the Tokyo Dome, and then they're going back to WWE.
Yeah. I don't think they're going back to WWE. I think they're going to lose. I don't know. I don't think so.
Apparently, Dax did say that he can't wait to wrestle Cody again. So there you go. Now here's something I know you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Rick Ross mediating
what the hell was that?
Between Swerve and Keith Lee.
He called him a big motherfucker, dude.
He did.
On TV.
He did. The censors missed it. This sucked the life out of me and I think the arena. Again, we hardly poo-poo on wrestling, but I do think a lot of I don't think anybody liked it. A lot of stuff just shoots right through my brain when I see it, where I'm like, yeah, great. Rick Ross is great, right? I think when you have millionaires on TV like this,
yeah,
who aren't really known for being wrestling fans or it's like stuff like that, I'm not trying to gatekeep, but it just seemed like he phoned everything in for a paycheck and good on him. You know?
I don't know. I didn't feel that. I just thought it was a clunky segment.
I felt it was so lifeless. I felt like it was the most lifeless segment they've done with these two guys because you want to see what happens between Swerve and Keith Lee. You know, they were a great team and then they had like the betrayal, right? Yeah. Both guys are wildly talented and it ended with Parker Boudreaux.
Okay, and, he's wacky.
Yeah, but like I think they waited for him to grow his hair back.
I don't know, but why is he doing this thing? I don't know. I don't know if they're like telling him to sell in a certain way. Like he's like a monster, like a
baby rock.
I don't know. He came off like a Frankenstein monster to me.
Who was the other guy?
Who was the other guy? Somebody was has to an, have that.
Was that an island boy?
He possibly could have been.
Covered. Was that the Island Boys' dad?
Yeah, it was the Island Boys.
I have it 1 second.
They drank the ooze from Shredder. Shredder, the same ooze, and that's what happened.
They were all wearing shirts that said Mogul Affiliates. Great.
Cool.
You know, like, I guess that's the name of Swerve's new faction. I didn't feel it, man. Like, and it sucks because, like, everybody involved is wildly talented, you know? And they signed off on Rick Ross. Just, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Rick Ross.
And listen, thank God we had the main event that we had. Jamie Hayter beating Hikaru Shida to retain the AEW Women's title.
Great match.
Great main event. The crowd
Man, Jamie
was
looked
super
great.
Into it.
She yes. looked, I mean, th- this was this is what she needed. The crowd's been behind her since, I would say, since Chicago?
Yeah.
Right? The crowd's really been behind her. She organically got over. Organically. Key positioning, or it was organic. People really gravitated towards her.
Mm-hmm.
She put on a great match with Shida in that main event. I loved everything about it. Very good match.
I definitely think this was the match that the women's division needed. And you got that nice face front camera shot to end the show, you know. Britt Baker, Rebel, Toni Storm, Saraya. Like, you got like that, like, oh, this is it now. This is going to be like your title picture going forward for the women's division, you know?
Yeah.
And then whoever Saraya brings in as her mysterious tag team partner.
The mysterious tag team partner.
And watch, who do you think it's going to be?
Her mom.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
My mom. That's my Ray Romano.
Hey.
What's the wife's name?
I don't know.
What was Ray Romano's wife's name on that show?
Hey, Samantha, my mom is coming. My mom. I do a good Spanish, Ray Romano.
How does that go?
Mi mamá. But yeah, listen, they put a strong emphasis on the women's division now. That title picture looks good. I'm looking forward to seeing like all these matches, and it has like a slight Stardom vibe to it. You know, maybe because a few of these ladies were in Stardom, but you know, again, who do you think is going to be Soraya's?
The thing that sucks here is if it is not Sasha, mm-hmm. no matter who it is, people are going to be disappointed. I don't know who it can be that people will not be left disappointed, because the expectation now is mm-hmm. so high.
Lita.
You know what? I think that would be great. That is a person that I could, that people, I don't know if it, listen, who knows, but.
Right.
But I mean, that's a good one. You'd be like, ah, okay, cool. It's Lita. But you would still be disappointed it's not Sasha. The expectation is so high now for it to be Sasha. Where
Charlotte.
I mean, she's under contract. She's showing up at Rumbles.
Okay.
You know what? If it was, you're absolutely right. That would trump over it.
I think so. I think that would be either if it's Sasha or Charlotte or even Lita, it would give
it
the
division.
It has
to be a big name. It has to be a huge name. But it needs to be someone that people are saying Deborah. Deborah McMichaels?
Well, you need somebody that I got one for you.
Who?
Punk's wife.
AJ, yeah. I would have, you know what? If the Punk stuff didn't happen, I would have said AJ for sure.
Yeah.
I can't imagine AJ going back there after everything that happened.
Yeah. Who has history with Soraya/Paige would make sense?
Yeah. You know? Okay. Who has history with her that is available that could show up? There's not too many.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm leaning towards Charlotte, even though, you know, but it's.
Yeah, but Charlotte's under contract. I mean, it can't be. Oh, Deborah was Ray's mom. Yes, Deborah. No, Deborah was the wife.
Okay. My wife, Deborah. Deborah. My mom. My mom hates my wife.
And she was such a pain in the. I hated her. She was the worst, Deborah. What a pain in the ass.
I've never really watched.
Just fucking entertain that man child of a husband you got. Just give him something.
Can I touch you? Hey, Deborah, it's my birthday. Can I touch you?
I've never really watched Every Loves Raymond, but if it's on, I'll leave it on now.
He bothers me. He bothers me so much, Ray. I know so many Ray Romanos, a lot of my friends,
they've
lost all integrity in their relationship with their parents and with their wife, and they're just children. They're one of the kids.
Yeah.
And the wife treats them like the kid, and the mother treats them like a kid, and the wife and the mother hate each other.
Mm-hmm. My mom.
I thought it was gonna end when he kills the mother and the wife.
Just kills everybody. No, yeah. The monster.
And then he just
monster.
Rides his big dopey brother into the sunset. Like he's like, he runs like a horse. He transforms. The brother, the cop, turns into a horse. He gets on top of him and just gallops away.
Whenever I see Brad Garrett, I go, oh, it's the monster from Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's so funny.
Great cast, though. Should we do? Listen, okay. Can we jump from the Ray Romano stuff from Everybody Loves Raymond? Because we had a great idea in our wrestling group chat the other day.
Yes, talk about it.
Seinfeld watch along. MG and Jonathan, our two producers, have never watched Seinfeld, floored by this revelation. And I think at some point in 2023, we are gonna do, starting from episode one, a 4-way watch along of Seinfeld. And I kind of feel like everybody who watches this show would be into us watching Seinfeld.
I want to know what Issa thinks of the Puerto Rican Day Parade episode. That's what I want to know.
Oh, we'll bring her in for that episode.
Bring her in for that. Yeah, we should. We should bring in our friends to watch controversial Seinfeld episodes.
Or just like good Seinfelds, you know?
Anything that stars Art Vandelay. I love that George has that alter ego. And do you know what Kramer's alter ego is?
What was it, Pete Van Nostrand?
Mr. Pennypacker.
Mr. Pennypacker.
Mr. Pennypacker.
great show. I think it got so much tighter towards the middle, towards the end, you know, because then you started getting like the storylines that would pay off.
So good. So good.
It's ridiculous. And you really don't need to know much about it. It's, you know.
We got Rampage on Friday, the 300,000, Three Kings Christmas Casino Trios Royale.
Mouthful.
We hear from Eddie Kingston and Ortiz, Jade Cargill versus Vert Vixen.
I guess so.
In a title eliminator, Wardlow addresses Samoa Joe, Daddy Ass, and Anthony. I was going to call him Antonio Brown. That is not the right guy, man. Anthony Bowens take on Jeff Jarrett, Anti Great, and Jay Lethal. Jeff Jarrett all over the place right now.
Yeah, this is going to be a great match.
he has survived a nuclear bomb. You know, he's one guy that will survive the test of time in professional wrestling. Dynamite on 12/28, match 6 of the best of the 7 series. Death Triangle leads 3-2. False count anywhere rules for this one. Samoa Joe defends the TNT title against Wardlow. Bryan Danielson takes on Ethan Page. All right, great. Let's do... Oh, hold on. Plugs time before the questions. Guys, get your questions ready for the chat room. If you haven't already, please participate in the 3rd annual Mad Men Awards, according to MG Geek. Not the Mad Men Awards. Mad Men Awards. I'm a big Draper fan. I just want to tell you. Participate in the 3rd annual Mad Men Awards. Ballot link is pinned here in the YouTube chat. There's also... at the top of our Twitter, Mad Men Podcast on Twitter. The award show will take place sometime in the next week or two. All right. Q&A time, boys and girls.
Awesome. Guys, get your questions ready. Submit your questions. MG Geek, please add the questions to the VMix social so we can read them. I know there's a ton in there, so you're going to have to find them. If you want to super chat us, that'd be great. But you don't have to. We're not your dad. You don't have to listen to us. All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right. This is from Major Blood. What's a booking decision in wrestling you would change? Mine is John Cena never being able to defeat AJ Styles.
Oh, that's an interesting one. A booking decision that I would change. Okay. You know what? The WrestleMania 2000 Triple H win, keeping the title, leaving. I would have changed that. I think that was a big... I remember the buzz around that, and people were just, it sucked all the energy out. And do you remember that WrestleMania? They did something very strange. They started like a pre-show like 12 hours before.
Yes.
Do you remember? They did this weird countdown thing for that. I would have changed. I would have not had him win.
They did like the all day thing.
Yeah. What would you have done? Give me something that you always felt was a weird booking decision.
From WWE? Oh,
I got one. Yeah. You go, and I got a great one. Go.
Not turning Cena like full heel when they had the chance.
That's a huge one. Yeah. I would say Flair Hogan at WrestleMania not happening. That Sid match with Hogan and that was one of those moments you would have done. Also, Bill Goldberg, his, you know, ending the streak the way that was done, I would have changed that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
There's a lot of those moments. There's tons of
Austin. We never got Austin Hogan.
Never got Austin Hogan. We never got Lesnar Austin. Maybe this year. Maybe you get that this year. Who knows? I'm not saying anything. I'm not suggesting that is happening. I'm just saying if you're having Austin at WrestleMania, which is a rumor, right? People want Austin at WrestleMania. He also is getting in unbelievable shape. He's training earlier than he did last year for this thing. So
yes. And he's looking good.
Listen, at the end of the day, it really depends on how he feels. That's really what it's going to come down to. And the same thing for The Rock. It's going to be how do they feel in their training, because neither one of them wants to look like a fool, okay?
Would you lose your shit if Royal Rumble happens, number 30, glass breaks, Steve Austin wins.
Big clothesline. Everybody just clotheslines everybody out?
Clotheslines everybody out, points to the camera, and goes, "You and me at WrestleMania, Roman Reigns."
Oh, my God, I lose my mind.
I'm the king of Redneck Island.
I'm the king of Redneck Island, yeah.
And then, you know, like, you would you go effing bonkers?
It'd be fantastic. I would I would take that over The Rock.
I think that would The Rock stuff, I think The Rock needs a win right now. I think he definitely looks like a giant goofball because of the whole Black Adam, like,
DC weird thing. Debacle. Weird debacle there.
Yeah, where like he's like, yo, I work so hard, Superman, I rule, check it out. And then they're like, nah, we don't need you anymore.
Unbelievable. There all right.
Go. Like, he needs the win. This what is else? From Cadillac Carson, Super Chat, 1999. Thanks, dude. You great have year. To live. You have to live in a one bedroom apartment with four other wrestlers. Who are they? Merry Christmas, my Mattman homies.
Do I want to do I would probably want to live with the New Day.
Yeah. You know what? That's a great answer. That's a lot of fun.
Because they're like normal, clean people. They're not like lunatics. You know,
I
could have a great time with them. I feel like I would hang out with them all the time. We'd be best friends. They would Biggie would carry me like a baby. Would tuck me in.
You'd be friends until you say you'd vote for Obama for a third term.
For a third time. Yeah, that would be it. That would be I would be kicked out of that apartment at that point.
That's the nail in the coffin. Demolition. I think you'd live with. You'd be a great roommate for Demolition.
Ah, I would clean up after them. That's all I would do. They would just make me clean. I'd be Cinderella. If there was a stand-up comic you could invite to your house for Thanksgiving, who would it be? My answer is so easy.
I know your answer.
Who's David my answer? Tell. No. David Brian from Press? No, I see him enough.
That's good. He does look like David Tell. Who would it be? Who would your...
Joey Diaz.
Joey Coco Diaz?
Just to see... The uncomfortableness of the conversations between my in-laws and him.
Oh, forget it.
Wake up, cocksuckers. You know?
I. What if you introduced Joey Coco Diaz to Coco? Would they have a fight?
Yeah, they would 100%. Coco would get so effing weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, that would be my name if I was... All my friends tell me... I'm really funny and I should do stand-up.
There is nothing more cringy to a stand-up comic is if you go to them in a serious manner and tell them that you should have done stand-up because you're really funny.
How does Coco know you do that voice?
I've done it to him and he gets very sad when I do his own voice to him and then he just mopes around. But he cornered Tim freaking Dillon at my house.
Oh, yeah.
And he just started berating him about how he's funny. Like, and he was serious. He's like,
I think sometimes I'm funnier than you. Like, oh, I could do, boy. I should do stand-up. I should do. I mean, Tim Dillon's one of the top comics in the world right now. You think you're funny? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah.
I'm like, unbelievable.
Yeah. So you'd live with the New Day.
I would live with the New Day. Who would you live with?
I don't know. You know, like, it's, I'm weird when it comes to that stuff. You know, like, I think we're in the same level where it's like, you kind of just want somebody to chill out with.
You know, your camera got so bright so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious what happened.
The sun came out.
The sun did come out.
I have. So
don't
I'm
change
facing,
it. I thought it
I'm
was
facing
me.
The windows. I'm facing the windows. I have a ring light going in the distance. And then the clouds just parted like right now.
You're at the center of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's go to another question here. All right. This is from Dylan. How is the Dynamite taping ticket sales going? Will they pick a smaller building next year?
How are Dynamite taping? I haven't heard any. I mean, there's no incline. It's fine. It's okay. But they definitely they are a little down. I think being in different buildings now, not necessarily smaller, doing a West Coast thing. This is a nice test to see how sustainable it is. But I think going into new markets, it's going to help them a lot.
Okay. This is from BC Knight. Ask Mattman, what is your craziest wrestling prediction for 2023?
CM Punk comes back to AEW.
I'm going to say CM Punk goes back to WWE.
That's a possibility, too.
That is a huge possibility.
But not after the conversation I had last week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, never say never, right?
Never say never, though.
That's a good one from Aaron. Chances of IWGP Women's Champion Carrie defending the title at Forbidden Door against Julia or somebody from the AEW women's roster.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I think that's great. I think that IWGP title should be defended on there. I think that's a very big possibility. I don't know who it would be by then, but I like that.
Yeah,
I would say yes. I think that's going to happen.
I think a lot of stuff is possible, you know, and I think we're going to get more crossover with AEW just to like bump up that roster too.
Well, we are because they said it already for Ring of Honor, right? There's a New Japan element that they're going to talk about after the Dome. Yes.
That's right. This is from Kuro Metarico. Ask Mattman, how's it going?
It's fine. Thank you.
It's going well. Thanks for Thanks for asking.
I'm tired. It's been a long year.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
This is from Estilo Latino. How many of the booking, I want to say mistakes, could have been avoided, improved, or nixed by Cody's input?
Cody did have input. I think some of the reason why he left is because I feel like maybe he felt that he didn't have as much input as he would want, or there was some sort of ideology change. I think a lot of this stuff came into play. I think that's the case mm-hmm. whenever you bring anybody. You know, Sanjay's now working on booking. How many things could be different with booking if Sanjay wasn't there, or he is there? You know, all these things matter. I don't know. I think having anybody there with any kind of input will change the trajectory. You know, instead of it being one person's opinion, now it's multiple people. But Cody's a great mind for wrestling. So I don't know if it's a positive or a negative with Cody leaving. I lean towards maybe it's a little bit of a negative, him leaving, but I don't know how much it affected the story. I think more than anything else, the MJF issue, CM Punk, Kenny not mm-hmm. being there, Adam Cole getting hurt, a lot of that played a big part. Jeff Hardy also, you know, people forget that Jeff Hardy disappeared from TV and he was a huge acquisition for them.
Lance Archer also not being on TV. There's a lot of like stuff that's kind of like, oh shit, that did happen. You know, like Malachi taking time off, you know?
Yeah.
I think the Cody thing is interesting too, because on record, he has said that he never wants to work in the office again.
Yeah.
You know, like he said it was like, it was a huge hurdle to overcome. And I can't imagine, you know, like, hey, this is a new company. Like the one of the cool guys I know is in charge. Yo, let me try to politic my way into shit, right? Like, I'm sure they still have to deal with, like, a lot of politicky nonsense backstage, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. This is from BC Knight. If Roman versus Rock is for the titles, should WWE worry about fans rejecting the feud because it's not Sammy or Cody getting the shot?
Great question. I don't know. I think it's going to really depend on how they present this.
Okay.
It's really going to come down to the presentation more than anything else. They can make anything into a mega program, or they can make it into a failure. You know, Rock coming out at number 30 and clotheslining Cody out of the ring, and Cody's now not in that title picture. Yeah, that would be a negative. I think a lot of people would be angry about that. But is it the people that they give a crap about that are angry about it? Probably not. Everybody else is going to freaking love it, you know, except you know, us and the people that are, you know, P1s.
Those P1s. So Cody comes in number 3 at the Rumble as Stardust, gets eliminated, and then comes back at number 30 as American Nightmare.
There you go. There you go. That's how you do it. Thank you. He could do all of his gimmicks.
And he comes in at number 10 as Dashing Cody Rhodes.
Dashing Cody Rhodes with a mask and with a paper bag on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
This is a good one I think we could end on.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
This is from the Shadow Ranger.
Yeah.
You and two wrestlers get to host a podcast about anything other than wrestling. What wrestlers do you choose, and what is your podcast about?
Oh. I would do Sami Zayn and AJ, and the concept would be Hollow Earth Theory. That would be the whole show. It would be about Hollow Earth Theory.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, yeah. AJ Styles, really Sami Zayn, and myself, and we do Hollow Earth Theory.
I think I, you know, listen, this is a no-brainer for me. I would go Kenny Omega in video games.
Okay. Who's the other one? Who's the other guy? You got two wrestlers.
Oh, I got two wrestlers.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods, okay.
If we're going in, down that video game rabbit hole, or it's Kenny, me, and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, dude, I want to talk to Sammy and AJ about Mole Men.
Yeah, I think AJ would have a lot to say, because there's a clip from I think that post SmackDown show that's floating around where Daniel Bryan at the time calls him out on thinking the Earth is flat, and AJ's response was, "Hey, man, I'm just saying.
You don't know.
It could be a possibility. You're a flat earther, right? How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm a flat everything. Flat Earth, flat Mars. Nobody talks about flat Mars.
Flat Mars. I've never
like if the earth is flat, like why aren't we talking about flat Mars and the flat moon and the flat sun? Everything else is round except us? That sounds crazy to me. Everything
is
flat.
That does sound crazy.
Why can't we talk about flat Mars theory?
Flat Mars theorist Andrew.
So you're telling me the earth is flat and there's this ice around us saving us from falling off the edge, right? However,
right.
However, the moon is not flat. Right. We are the only flat object.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy into that. The moon is flat. It's made out of cheese. Mars is flat. Neptune is flat. Uranus is flat. Everything is flat.
Everything is flat beyond our periphery. It would be crazy if, like, one day, you know, we're older gentlemen and then it was proven that the earth is flat and we're like, huh,
what?
Look at that. I've been living my life wrong the whole time. What do you say? What do you say, kiddo?
All right. Time to wrap it up, boys and girls.
All right.
Goodbye, everybody. I love you all. Guys, subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. What other podcasts are you going to hear about flat Mars theory? No other podcast. I'll tell you that. All right. Merry Christmas. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Love you.